Well, I'm so glad he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can count on him, even though we wax old like a garment. His years are ever the same. He's the eternal one and the eternal Savior. I'm so thankful for him. Let's turn to James chapter 4. I've got to give you some encouraging words here, because we need to talk about a particular sin. Particular sin that you and I never see, that only the people around us see, and only God sees. The sin that we commit the most, and yet it's the worst of all that can be committed. It is the sin of pride. Pride, right? Absolute pride. God tells us here in verse 6 of James chapter 4, but he giveth more grace. Praise the Lord. Wherefore he saith, and here's this aspect, God resisteth the proud, that's grace, and he giveth grace unto the humble, that's grace. Okay, and I really do, what I'm saying is not just, I'm not making that up. Ultimately, what you need to see is from the very opening chapter, he says, let the man of low degree, verse 9, rejoice in that he's exalted. The humble man, through grace, will be lifted up. But he says, let the rich, but the rich, and the verb is implied from the former verse, let the rich rejoice in that he is made low. So we're in a position of pride, and God brings us down low because so that we can receive the blessing of God. And because we cannot have it in our state of pride. Really, pride is our natural state apart from God's grace. So God has to deal with us in that regard. I want to see two things. I want us to see what does it mean for God to resist the proud, and I want us to see what does it mean to be proud. And that'll be our goal here this evening. Resist is a military term for a siege. When in the ancient world warfare, and still in modern warfare, you can surround your enemy and starve them out, have a blockade, and cut off all their provisions. So now they have no other resources. This is what God does to the proud. He sets us around at every hand so that all of our sources of satisfaction outside of God are cut off. And all of a sudden we're getting frustrated and we're getting dry. And we're looking around and saying, what's going on with my life? God is resisting us. He says, you cannot live apart from surrender to God. So if we want to have God fighting us, cutting us off at every hand, just we need pride. I want you to know that it is the nature of God to humble the pride. As much as it is the nature of God to love, or it is the nature of God to be wise, or to be almighty, it is his nature that he must humble the proud. And I'm going to give you some passage of scripture here. It says, the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty. Upon everyone that is lifted up, he shall be brought low. Upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up. Upon all the oaks of Bashan. Upon all the high mountains. And upon all the hills that are lifted up. And upon every high tower. And upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, upon all the pleasant pictures, and the loftiness of man shall be brought bowed down, and the haughtiness of man shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted. See why? God must humble pride. Because he alone must be exalted. It's his position. It's his place. And everyone who rises up to take his position, you are, when you raise up your head and pride against God and stubbornness, you unbeknownst to ourselves even, we are claiming the throne of God. And there's only one way to get to the throne of God, and that's to be in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is exalted in his throne, and we are promised that throne through humility in Christ. This is Isaiah chapter 2, if I didn't tell you that. Here's another passage from Job 40 that really, once I read it and I think I understood it, then I was like, I can't believe this. Just listen to these words. He says, God is talking to Job, and this is God talking in the whirlwind. He's challenging him. And he says, hast thou an arm like God? That's a pretty interesting question. And canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Come on, let's have a screaming match with God. Who's going to make the biggest? Nowhere close. He says, deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Reading in Revelation, the throne of God and the concentric circles of the rainbow, the glory of the light, and then the angels, and then the torches, and then the 24 elders, just the beauty and the majesty of these. He decked himself in glory. He says, come on, Job, show yourself in all your beauty. So clearly he's challenging Job with the attributes that are clearly divine. Now listen to what he says next. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold everyone that is proud and abasement. Look on everyone that is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place, if you are not. Because that's what God's doing. That's what our God does. Let me say it better. He must, because he is God, he must put down all those proud. It is his nature, and you can tell him. Think of the men that were proud. Samuel told Saul, when thou wast little in thy eyes, Saul never looked at thee. Nebuchadnezzar, oh, he could tell you a story about pride. He says, he praised and extolled and honored the King of Heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment and justice. And those that walk in pride, he says, he is able. He knows how to do it. He can bring you down. He knows exactly what to do. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not go on. So we see that it is God's nature to humble the proud. We can think about it and say, what does it mean when God says resist the proud? How am I proud? Well, a proud man does not heed God's word. And God tells us to do something, and we disobey it. Isn't that when Samuel came to Saul? The demonstration of his pride was he thought he could go his own way. He was wise in his own conceit. You know what? A proud man does not heed God's humbling providence. Just like God brought down Nebuchadnezzar, and God's bringing down the purpose of trials in our lives, the purpose of difficulty is to bring us to that place where we look up and see our need for God. The proud man goes through those experiences and he resists the humbling of God. I can think of a man who resisted pretty long and hard against the providences of God. How about a man named Pharaoh? In place. Hardened his heart. God hardened his heart at the end. He even went after them after all that he went through and saw his army. The Bible says he hardened the hearts of those men and they went down into that seats. And they were destroyed. Proud man does not heed God's plan. He seeks his own way. His own path. Not interested in God telling him and orchestrating his life and directing his paths. The proud man does not think that he needs God. The Bible says the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Every moment that I think, I live and say, God, I'm not in front of God. Every day that I die, every moment that I live, in which I'm not thinking, God, I need you. Things come. They're not conscious. That's why the Bible talks about praying without ceasing. He that prayer that does not cease has God conscious at all the time. He says, Lord, I need you, I need you, I need you. And that's why it's the sin we commit the most. Because all we have to do is allow God to slip from our thoughts. Proud man does not seek. We're going to look at some of these things. We could just go down and see all the things that God's going to command us to do. Submit yourselves unto therefore to God. Alright, so a proud person doesn't submit themselves to God. Resist the devil. A proud person is easy fodder for the devil, his tricks. Draw an eye to God. You know what a proud person does? They run to God like a thief runs to a police officer. They're slinking away from the presence of God. They don't want to draw an eye to Him. A proud man does not ask for forgiveness from God. He's not broken before God. He's not afflicted and mourning and weeping. Not humbling himself in the sight of the Lord. When was the last time you prayed and asked for forgiveness? A real good barometer of where we're at with our God. So that needs to be a regular prayer. Proud man has strong self-confidence in himself and his own judgment, his own ability. Proud man is not not considered of others. There's a lack of love. It says the wicked in his pride that persecute the poor. We treat other people poorly because we're walking in the path. So we can see a lot of these things here that push us to this point of saying, Lord, it is a humbling thing for God to point out pride. But that's the one sin we just don't want to admit. And yet, if God does that, what should you rejoice? I mean, what should you do? You should rejoice. Thank you. Wow, that's amazing. Let the rich man rejoice. Rejoice in that moment where God points out your pride and you can say, can you humble yourself in the sight of Him and allow Him to do it. God doesn't want you to remain moody. You always have a humility, but God wants you not to live in humiliation. He wants to exalt you. He wants to live. And He will, the Bible says, in due time. And that time will be right. And when He lifts us up, you know what we won't be? In His time, we won't be proud. Because He'll do it in the right time when we're ready to give Him the glory. So we can say in the last word of it, finish with this verse. The loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low. And the Lord commands. What a good day. That's called the day of Christ. And may we live for that day. All right. Very good. May God remove.